This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In an overall game, I would still take Brock Purdy. And the only reason I say that is because during the game, we are solid. As a Niner fan, we're solid. But if it came down to a two-minute drill, I have to take Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he has that Tom Brady mentality. I just haven't seen that enough in Brock Purdy at that point. I just think that if you are in a two-minute drill, you take Patrick Mahomes because he knows how to work that field and everything. And then the last thing I will say is, as a nickname for Brock, when it comes down to it for the fans, the Broccolinis. That's a fact for you, Div, since you love your veggies.
Thank you. Yes, the Broccolinis, right. A broccolini is underrated. Broccoli's good. Broccolini, which is the slightly more slender version of broccoli, less of a crown, more of a sprig. You can get a nice little char on that broccolini. It's restaurant quality. It's very good.
I'm not so sure about that for a nickname of a quarterback, but, you know.
Agreed, but, you know, broccolini is certainly delicious, and I don't know if he wants to be named after a vegetable, per se, but broccolini greater than broccoli, don't at me.
I think the caller is right, though. It's a conversation maybe for the majority of games, but then you get down to winning time, and Mahomes does just, whether it's, as you're talking about, the game against the Bengals, where aided by a 4th-and-16 DPI and some weird stuff, and I know, I mean, if you go on social media during any Chiefs game and any time a flag comes out, I know you're aware of this, Dibs, and you probably hate it more than I do, but any time there's an important Chiefs game, a close Chiefs game, well, here come the refs to help Mahomes and the Chiefs again, whether or not there is weirdness going on or it's just Mahomes being Mahomes and getting the job done. The fact of the matter is he generally does get the job done. The Niners know that as well as anybody because they've been on the wrong end of two of those such games in the Super Bowl.
Right. And I think that it's a little bit short-sighted to just say Mahomes or Brock. And you know this because it is a team game, but I'm looking at all the Kansas City games and you beat Atlanta 22-17 and you'd only given up, you know, 14 points. You had the lead. The fourth quarter, Atlanta gets a field goal and that's it. Your defense turned off the faucet. And it's the same thing in a lot of these Chiefs games where you beat the Chargers 17-10. Justin Herbert played in that game. You held the Saints to 13 points, an offense that had been lighting up virtually everyone. So I think that as we get closer to this game on Sunday, we can talk more about defense versus defense, and obviously defense against offense and offense against defense, but for me, it's less about Mahomes and Purdy, and it's more about Purdy versus Spagnuolo and Mahomes going up against Sorensen and, you know, Bosa against Mahomes and, you know, the Kansas City front going up against Brock Purdy and who's going to run
Jones.
The ball. Right. I think that becomes a more nuanced way to look at it because Kansas City's defense is very, very good. They're more about their defense than they are about Mahomes.
Yeah, part of what I'm saying here, and I think you get it, and we talked about it a little bit off the air, it's not necessarily just that Purdy better statistically than Mahomes or whatever the case is, but who has had a bigger impact on winning his team football games so far this year? And obviously it's kind of swayed because one team is undefeated and the other is 3-3 at 500. But when the Niners have won, I think Brock Purdy has been more of a factor than Patrick Mahomes. It's funny because this is honestly kind of the conversation that a lot of people use against Brock Purdy. Is Brock Purdy the driver of the bus or is he just along for the ride? And it kind of feels like so far this year, for the majority of the season, Mahomes has just been along for the ride. And it's not as if he has had all-pro weapons everywhere. It's just their defense, Dibs, has been so incredibly good. And Steve Spagnuolo, by a mile, the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. The 49ers, after firing Steve Wilks, called up Steve Spagnuolo and said, "You interested?" And he said, "No, of course not. I've won consecutive Super Bowls here. Why would I ever want to leave? Unless I'm getting maybe a head coach opening." Maybe he doesn't want to do that because he has failed as a head coach, but has been maybe the best defensive coordinator ever. The Niners, so much of the talk around the Niners this year, Dibs, has been, well, Nick Sorensen, first year as a DC, he's struggling. Where's Nick Bosa? Fred Warner can't do it alone. Mooney Ward banged up, but even when he's playing, not very good. Javon Hargrave, when he was healthy, is he going to show up? Floyd, their new signing, the edge rusher, he hasn't really been consistent so far this year. The defense hasn't been nearly as good as expected. On the flip side, you have Patrick Mahomes, who's being aided by one of the best defenses in the NFL. That's also partly where this comes in. Purdy has had to do more in order to help his team win football games, while Mahomes, obviously, he could probably do more if they were to open up the playbook and let him push the ball down the field a little bit, but he hasn't had to do as much because their defense has been miles better than the 49ers.
It's funny because if you took the names off of the numbers, you would look at one quarterback and say, well, that's the game manager, the guy who is 69.4%, and he's thrown for 1,235 yards over five games, which is 247 a game. Not a tiny number, but...
And they have their bye, so one fewer game played than everyone else.
Five games and six TDs and six interceptions. And, you know, a guy who's not scoring a ton of points, that would be more the game manager than a quarterback who is out there, you know, throwing it more often, 65%, nine touchdowns, four picks. And like you mentioned before, number two in yards per attempt, number one in yards per catch in football, more yards per game, throwing more air yards, pushing it down the field, and that's Brock Purdy. So the game manager this year has been much more Patrick Mahomes, and I just looked at it, Grandy, and I was struck by this number. Jordan Mason this year, 609 yards rushing in, we'll call it 4.5 games. Kansas City, as a team, 589 yards in five games. Their leading rusher has 171 yards. So Kansas City can't run the ball, and because they've had so many different injured running backs. They've had, you know, Pacheco and Steele and P. Ryan and Xavier Worthy and Mahomes.
Remember when Carson Steele was
the
fantasy
guy.
Football priority ad number one?
Totally. He's getting 33 carries for $117. Hasn't done much. And they have five rushing touchdowns. Two of those are Xavier Worthy. So the speedster, wide receiver, they can't run the ball, and they can't really throw it that effectively because they don't have great wide receivers, yet they're 5-0. So I'm going to dive into the tape here over the next two or three or four days just to try to figure this out, and I'll ask Greg Cosell on Wednesday, how is Kansas City doing it to where they're winning these games? Because their quarterback has been, honestly, mediocre, and their running game is non-existent, and their wide receivers are... okay. I mean, Xavier Worthy was amazing in week one, but other than that, Rashi Rice has been hurt and Mecole Hardman hasn't done much. How is this team 5-0? How?
It's a great question.
And don't say the refs, you know.
I think there is a skill, and there's a number of texts coming into the Comcast Business text line. Generally, Dibs, they're in agreement with you. Congratulations. A lot of them arguing this, and I think this is a very fair point. There is something to be said for a team that wins football games when they're not playing their best. Like, that's a skill that you have to have.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are as good as anybody at it. They did it last year. I mean, last year, They weren't very good last year.
Right.
Like, really, throughout the majority of the regular season, they were not a very good football team. When they would win, they have, obviously, a couple of blowout wins where they're just outclassing opponents, but for the majority of the season, like, they were nowhere near the Niners in terms of putting up 30 points and point differential and margin of victory and all of that. They were struggling for their standards through the regular season. Now, they ultimately won, and they won their division, and we know who they beat in the postseason, and the rest is history. The Eagles were the same at it last year. They were always winning close games. It's part of the reason why the guy normally occupying this seat, Mark Willard, was so convinced that they were a paper tiger, because they had had close win, fluky win after fluky win. Someone comes in better than them, they're going to kind of wreck them, and they're not going to be able to recover, and that's exactly what happened. Kansas City is kind of able to weather that stuff because they have Patrick Mahomes, and there is a way, and it is a skill to be able to win ugly and win where you're not playing well. That is something the Niners don't do very well, Dibs. They, when they are firing in all cylinders, no one in the NFL can beat them. But when things kind of get bogged down and they get ugly and they're not playing their best, they very rarely win those games. Meanwhile, the Chiefs seemingly almost always win those games.
Yeah, and I'm looking at last year, and you mentioned Philly. Philly beat Kansas City when Kansas City was coming off their bye. Philly beats them. The Chiefs go to 7-3. KC beats the Raiders. They lose back-to-back Green Bay and Buffalo. They win at New England, then they lose to the Raiders to go to 9-6.
That was on Christmas, yeah.
Right. Since then, they have now won 11 straight, and they beat Cincinnati and the Chargers to end up the year, and then they won at Miami. They beat Miami, they won at Buffalo, at Baltimore, they won the Super Bowl, and they've won 5 in a row. Of those games, they beat the Bengals by 8, the Chargers by 1, they beat the Ravens by 7. Thank you, Baltimore, for not running the ball. Of course, yeah, they beat the Niners by 3 in overtime. And then this year, it's been a series of also close games, beating Baltimore by 7, Cincy by 1, Falcons by 5, Chargers by 7. They've had 4 one-score games this year, and they've won them all. So to your point, this team has figured out ways to win ugly. 17-10 over the Chargers, 22-17 over Atlanta. You're right about the Niners. It feels like they need to be humming in all three phases, and if they are, they're unbeatable. But if one of those three phases is slightly off, the Niners have a hard time winning these games.
And that's something that they need to get better at. You have to be able to win when you're not playing your best, because it's impossible to play your best every single... It's even impossible to play your best generally throughout the course of an entire postseason. I mean, we saw it last year. Niners played 3 postseason games. For how many of those quarters were they the better football team, Dibs? Over 12 postseason quarters. They were maybe the better football team in...
5?
Yeah.
Yep, 5
of
12.
The fourth quarter of each of the first 2,
yep.
And then maybe the first 3 of the Super Bowl.
The first 3, that's right. No, you're right. And I'm just looking at this year as an example where the Niners' total yards on offense, 401, 396, 425, 431, 384, and 483. The offense has hummed, and they're 3-3. And, you know, the defense has had a couple of lapses, and special teams has made mistakes, and the offense has put up yardage, but they've also made mistakes. This team, normally when they win the time of possession battle, they win the game. And this year they've won the time of possession battle in all 6 games, and they're 3-3. So it's been giveaways, it's been untimely mistakes, special teams errors, and you're right, this weekend feels like a game where you want your team to go out there and play a full 60 minutes, play mostly mistake-free, and beat a team that is ripe for the beating in your own park.
Yeah, they are ripe for the beating. They have been playing football that is beatable all season.
Yep.
And you hope that that continues, and you hope that you maybe put together your best game of the season. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. Rich, I see you on hold. We'll come to you next. Keep your calls and texts coming. 888-957-9570. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I think this Purdy-Mahomes conversation goes even deeper as well. Some of the arguments against Brock, we could flip that around and use it against Patrick Mahomes as well. We'll do that coming up next when Willard and Dibs continues here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're wheeling and dealing back here, Dibs.
There's controversy going on.
We got some fantasy football stuff going on in our league here at 95.7 The Game. We just got news, and then we could make this a local story as well, Dibs. James Cook, running back for the Buffalo Bills, has been ruled inactive. He is not playing tonight on Monday Night Football.
Right.
So check your fantasy football lineups. Frank Gore Jr., yes, that same Frank Gore, his son, elevated, and he is active today for the Buffalo Bills.
You know what that is, right, Grandy?
It's an elevation sensation.
That's the original! Cha-ching! Carter, put down your thoughts about it. Good job, Chickering. Thank you.
Anyway,
well played.
Where this gets interesting...
It's very interesting.
...is Mark Willard...
My partner under the weather...
Generally, yes, sitting in this chair.
Yeah.
He is trailing by, what, six or eight points?
He needs Cook to get six and change to beat the first place Chickering.
Yeah, who is sitting in the chair that I normally sit in. And there are a couple reserve Buffalo Bills running backs out there that someone could go and scoop up, either Willard and try to win, or someone else to try to screw over Mark Willard and keep him from winning. So we'll see how it all plays out.
You're trying to block my partner, and that normally I'd be in favor of it, but Carter Chickering is, I think, in first or close to first, and if he loses and everything else holds, we're going to have like a six-way tie at 4-2, including the Dibber. And I'll be honest, I don't even know if I've ever won a fantasy football league. This is not something I'm normally very good at, but this year's team, Dibber Claws, pretty strong. So I'm quietly... cautiously optimistic about our chances, my chances. So having Chickering lose would be good for business. And you're over here trying to help him. Is this wrong, Grandy?
I've had enough.
Chickering's in first, and who is the only team that's beat him, huh?
That would be me.
Yeah, you're a non-factor.
I keep it that way.
You're a non-factor.
I keep it that way. We're not worried about you. And
you're going to be worried about me in like 4 weeks.
Thoughts and prayers to Sam Lubman, your morning show producer, who took Christian McCaffrey with the first overall pick.
Yeah, that's
and
rough.
His team has been... I'm thinking about Joe Namath on a Monday Night Football broadcast with Susie Colber. Struggling. I don't really care that Lubman is struggling. He is struggling.
Yeah. Lubman is essentially a bye week at this point.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, that's all for the fantasy portion. But I texted my partner and let him know. So it's a race for the Bills backup.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think most rosters don't have spots to pick anybody up.
Good
because
call.
You don't have anyone hurt or all your players have already played this week and you can't drop someone that's already played.
Just one last quick aside. Do you have three kickers on your roster, Chickering?
Yeah, I do weird things.
What?
Seems to be working, though.
I do weird things. He has three kickers on his team. I noticed this before.
Oh, defenses.
Oh, my bad. Yeah,
no, that's still thing. Weird.
Equally
that's still
weird. I was looking to pick up a defense, and I was looking at rosters. I'm like, this dude's got three defenses. You can only play one. Anyway.
Whatever.
So ends the fantasy football portion
loss.
Of the
Somehow
show.
He's in first. It makes no sense.
A lot of points.
Yeah, he's a bearded savant in there.
Maybe Mark Willard will pick up Ray Davis or Frank Gore Jr. and we'll knock him off. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, coming up on Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibs will be broadcasting live from John Madden Studio as we remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family will be there, of course, along with Willard and Dibs. And Steve Mariucci, former Niners head coach, will join the show live on site at 3, so we have that to look forward to on Wednesday. Should be a ton of fun here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Okay, Dibs, Niners versus Chiefs, as we get back into this conversation, let's go out to the phones to get us going once again on this, and that is Rich in Fremont, who wants to break down Niners and Chiefs. Rich, how you doing? What do you think about this matchup coming up on Sunday?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I don't think it's a must-have win for the Niners, and the reason why is because it's the season still early. However, I think if they did get this win, I think it's something that would be psychologically beneficial for them as far as their mental is concerned, because we know as the season gets in the groove and it gets towards the middle of the season, psychologically you start thinking more about what you're doing and what you're not doing. And I think if they could beat the Chiefs, that's going to basically right the ship, and it would send a message to the rest of the league that, hey, you know what? You know, the Niners didn't start off well because of injuries, and also, you know, hey, they shot themselves in the foot a couple of times. But I honestly believe at the end of the day, this is about them realizing that, hey, at the end of the day, you are San Francisco, you need to play like San Francisco, and you have them in your house, so you treat them accordingly. You go out there, you push them, and you punch them in the mouth, and you send them home thinking about that on their grill. Okay, that's the way you handle that. All right? Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Rich. I think Rich is right. There's definitely a psychological, a mental component here, and maybe it doesn't reach the level of, you know, getting the monkey off their back, Dibs, because the Niners are bigger than just a regular season game in October. You're right about that. But there is something to be able to say, the one team we haven't been able to beat, we finally beat them. That's got to be worth something.
Yes.
More than just a win in the win column.
More than just a win, but I do think that it's more about building off of what you did in Seattle. And you played a pretty good game against Seattle. There were mistakes, a kickoff return for a touchdown, and a game that got closer than it should have. Then, you know, it was dominant, but it should have been more dominant. And you want to build off of that, and you want to get some momentum as you head into the bye week. I think those things are as important, if not more important, than the psychology of Kansas City. The odds of you facing Kansas City again in the Super Bowl are not great. I know that the Niners are probably still favored to win the NFC, and Kansas City is the favorite in the AFC, so the odds would tell you that these two teams could and might meet again in February in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. So that is definitely a possibility, but for me, it's more about building off of what you did against Seattle and putting aside what happened against Arizona and really getting some positive momentum going into the bye, because we talked about it. Coming out of the bye, you've got some tough road games. You've got a back-to-back with Green Bay and Buffalo. You've got Seattle coming off a bye. The schedule does get tougher after your bye week next weekend.
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are still far and away the favorite to win the AFC. I know you and Willard have been talking about this every so often throughout the season, despite a loss here and a loss there. Do you think the 49ers are still the odds-on favorite to win the NFC at this point? What do you think?
Yeah, they should be. Absolutely.
They are.
Yeah.
And plus 330. The Lions are second, plus 480.
Right, and the Lions just lost Aiden Hutchinson to a broken fibula, I believe. So,
yeah.
And Dan Campbell, the head coach, said today that he wouldn't rule him out for the year. And we'll get Doc Pandya's thoughts on that tomorrow. I think it's usually an 8-week thing or more, which would put him out until late regular season.
They didn't rule him out for the whole season.
Dan Campbell said, and I was looking at a headline on ESPN, that he won't rule him out. Lions coach won't count out Hutchinson returning. And that is, you know, Campbell says, I would never count Hutch out ever. So probably a long road, but I would never count him out. And I would say if anybody could make it back, it'd be him. And we've seen crazy things happen. You remember T.O. when he had his broken ankle and he still played in the Super Bowl and he played through it. So there's a possibility that he could come back later in the year. I wouldn't rule it out either. But as of right now, Detroit loses a big piece. And I'm still not totally sold on Minnesota, even though Darnold's been great and he's in like the MVP conversation right now. Think about it. It includes Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. Like, I don't know where they are in the odds for MVP, but they're both in the conversation.
I'll look at it for you.
Right? And it's wild to think about an MVP conversation that includes Darnold and Mayfield at this point in the year.
Let's see. Regular season MVP, Mahomes, Lamar, CJ Stroud, Josh Allen, Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield. So yeah. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are both in the top 10.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as you look at the way the season could continue, and we know that the MVP is going to go to a quarterback almost assuredly, and it's going to go to a quarterback of a very good team, right? Yeah. And, you know, Baltimore at 4-2, Lamar is probably a smart bet, but I wonder if there won't be voter fatigue like there was with Nikola Jokic in the NBA, where, you know, voters were just kind of tired of giving it to him. And so Embiid, who had a good year, Embiid got a lot more support, I think, than he would have otherwise because Jokic had already won a couple.
Let me ask you about this, Dave. So the Niners 3-3. I think if you were to ask any Niner fan, any one of us, you probably would have predicted through 6 weeks that they would have probably at least 4 wins. Maybe the most common answer would be 5-1, probably. 3-3 seems like a bit of a disappointment. Are you encouraged enough by what you saw Thursday in Seattle that you still feel like the Niners are the best team in the NFC as the odds suggest they might be?
I think that they're in the conversation, but I also believe that it's going to come down to home field advantage. And also, there is a certain great advantage, I believe, in being the number one seed because you get that 1 week off and you've got a team that is, I don't know if they're an older team. I'd have to look at all the rosters and see.
Niners are, yeah.
Where it compares, it feels like they're older. You've got a 36-year-old left tackle who would love a week off. And George Kittle, he's been doing so much for this offense. He plays a ton of snaps. And Deebo Samuel plays so physically. And McCaffrey hasn't even been able to make it on the field yet, right? And all these things are leading me to think that this team would benefit more than a lot of other teams at having that week off. And you get the week off, and then you get a home game. So I think about the Niners and their quest to get back to the Super Bowl, and I see their path really needing the number one seed more than other teams.
Yeah, probably. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Maybe one of the reasons to be more encouraged by the Niners' chances, despite their slow start at 3-3. And by the way, the Niners, the seventh oldest team in the NFL by average age of every player on the roster. You can maybe find a different number if you do it just based on starters or key players and all that. And I think the Niners would rank even older than that if you did it that way. But seventh oldest when you include the whole roster. But one of the other reasons, Dibs, to be encouraged potentially, maybe has nothing to do with the Niners at all. and has to do with the fact that you could poke a hole in just about every other team in the NFC. Despite the Vikings being undefeated, do we really believe that's a team that's going to, if they get home field advantage, beat a couple of quality teams in the NFC playoffs? I would bet probably not. I don't think they're going to be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. You look, as you talked about, at the Dallas Cowboys, who won the NFC East last year and had the second best record in the NFL, in the NFC behind you. They were the 2 seed. They lost at home, but they got blown out by the Packers in the playoffs last year, and they look quite a bit worse this year than they were last year. The Philadelphia Eagles, after a win, are booing their coach off the field, and his coach had this to say about it post-game.
It looked like you were interacting with some fans.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I wonder if you know, Dibs, what Niners Chiefs means. Because it means an awful lot around here.
It's a Joe Montana Bowl is what it is, for those of you who partake.
Yeah, is he going to post on social media again about how he's not supporting one side over the other? He doesn't really care who wins.
Yeah, he's
better. He just wants both sides to have a good time.
And I hope we can get him on the station to answer for his fandom and figure out exactly what side he's on. And Alex Smith, too, quite frankly. Because yeah. Alex was, you know, his time here was a little tumultuous.
He has more of a reason to root for the Chiefs than Joe Montana does.
Interesting you say that, because Joe Montana went there and immediately won a playoff game, and Alex Smith went there and, you know, was kind of holding the bag for Patrick
Mahomes. Joe Montana left the Niners, he was the greatest quarterback to have ever lived.
He was. Is he still?
Probably not.
Right. And that's always subjective, but, you know, I think the two of them both have equal reasons to have split allegiances going into the game, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge game. I don't want people to think that I'm not fully engaged and fired up in this game. It's a great regular season game. And if you look at the rest of the schedule, this might be, although I something about the Buffalo-Green Bay back-to-back has got me really excited.
Road.
Yeah, and that's obviously further down the road. But for right now, you've got KC, defending champs, Super Bowl rematch at Levi's in an absolutely spectacular October day. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be blue sky, 125, the eyes of the nation upon us. I'm fired up for this game.
I mean, look at the next 7 games. Kansas City, Dallas, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, Chicago, who knows what they'll be when that game comes around early December, but they're looking good right now. Caleb Williams looking better every single week. You know what Buffalo is. You have a good idea what Green Bay is. Seattle, eh. Tampa looks awesome right now. Baker right. Mayfield's in the MVP conversation. Dallas, okay, maybe that wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be. And then Kansas City this week. That's tough sledding. You then have Los Angeles, the Rams, and Miami. Maybe by then those teams are better than they are now. Maybe they get healthier. Then you have Detroit as well.
Wow.
You know they'll be without Aiden Hutchinson, but that's still going to be a really tough game. You've got really a really tough schedule coming up, which just emphasizes if the Niners play like they have through 6 weeks and that continues, they're going to rack up some more losses. They simply have to play better. There's no doubt
and
about that.
And Seattle off a bye. We need to keep that in mind as we talk about rest differential. The Niners have the worst rest schedule in the NFL.
And next two opponents both coming off byes.
Exactly. And this one is a little bit mitigated by the fact that you're coming off a mini bye, but Kansas City does have the second longest winning streak against the Niners in the National Football League. And so, Carter, if you would, please. Game show music, please. Which team in the NFL owns the longest current winning streak against the 49ers?
Let me just look up. I'm looking up standings just so I have all the teams in front of me.
The Chiefs have beaten the Niners 4 consecutive times. There is a team that has beaten the Niners 5 straight meetings between the two. Who is that team?
So this obviously includes postseason, because 4 straight losses to the Chiefs
includes
two Super Bowl losses. Okay. My mind immediately goes to the Baltimore Ravens.
It's a great guess, Grandy, but I'm afraid that is incorrect because you're forgetting 2015, Niners 25, Baltimore 20. Baltimore has won 6 of 7 against the Niners.
That was close.
6 of 7. That's a great guess, actually.
My mind next went to the Minnesota Vikings, but I know that's not right because the Niners beat them in the postseason just a handful of years ago. That
was the 2019 season. The Vikings won 6 of 9 and 3 of 5.
Okay, so that wasn't an official guess.
No, but this is a spoken word. It's a spoken word format. You could guess 5 more times, and I don't think that you would get it. This is a very difficult question.
It's got to be an AFC team, and this streak has to be dating back to, like, 2000 or something.
It is. It goes back to 2005. Actually, the last win for the Niners over this team was 2001.
The last win for the Niners? It's not the Patriots.
No.
It's not the Dolphins.
No.
It's not the Jets.
No. They just beat those teams.
I don't know about the Bills. Not the Ravens. It's not the Steelers.
I know who it's not.
It's not the Browns.
No.
Is it the not the Texans. Colts. Titans.
The Browns have
Jaguars.
Won 5 of 7. They beat the Jags last year.
Is it the Cincinnati Bengals?
Is it the Bengals?
Oh.
Now, the Niners have won 3 of the last 5 against the Bengals. You give up?
That was my worst guess. Let me get one more guess here.
Yep.
It's not the Chargers. It's not the Broncos. It's not the Raiders. It's not the Jaguars.
You named every team but the
Titans. Really?
Yeah.
Is it the Colts?
It's the Colts!
Yeah!
The Colts have won 5 in a row against the Niners.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. If the streak went back that long, you had to be a team that was good in the 2000s and maybe early 2010s.
And a team that you didn't happen to cross over with, like based on, you were fourth and they were fourth. The Colts beat them in 21, 17, 13, 09, and 05. So you've only played them every 4 years. And the last time you beat the Colts was in 2001.
Wow.
40-21, Niners win. Terrell Owens from Jeff Garcia to salt it away in the fourth quarter. Garrison Hurst with a touchdown. Jose Cortez, your kicker. 2001. You were...
I was 5 years old.
Wow, dude. Yeah. Grandy.
Yeah, those are the names.
Kindergarten Grandy.
Those are the names that are in my head from the first Niner team that I remember. Jeff Garcia, Garrison Hurst, T.O., that whole squad.
Yeah. The Colts had that idiot kicker. Mike Vanderjack and Marvin Harrison Sr. Catching a touchdown from Peyton Manning. The Niners win 40-21 to go to 8-2.
Wow.
On the season. So, yeah, the Colts, it's kind of a random thing. But
they have not been relevant in a while.
And the two teams haven't played other than the every four-year divisional crossover.
Yeah, so that 2021 loss, that must have been... Was that the monsoon game? Do you remember it was terribly rainy in Santa Clara? The Niners got absolutely...
30-18.
Boat raced.
Yep.
Yeah.
30-18. Carson Wentz, your quarterback of the Colts.
Carson Wentz.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Elijah Mitchell went for a 107 and a touchdown. And your quarterback was Jimmy Garoppolo. So there you go.
3 years ago, 2021.
Yep. Anyway.
That was another season that got off to a slow start, 2021. They ultimately bounced back, and that was the year when they won to close the regular season against the Rams to go into the playoffs, ultimately lose to the Rams in the NFC Championship game. But all of that came out of a really, really slow start to the season. Maybe that gives a little bit of hope to the Niners this season that they can bounce back from maybe an equally slow start.
Yep, and that game was the one out of the bye where they were 2-3 going in, and you came out of the bye, and you laid an egg at home, and you're right about the monsoon, and the Niners dipped to 2-4, and all the thoughts were another lost year, and maybe Garoppolo's not the guy. And from then on, you ended up 10-7, and then you won at Dallas, and you won at Green Bay in the snow in the Hufanga game, and then you lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship. Yeah. So
Colts lost 5 in a row. The Niners have lost to the Colts 5 times in a row. That streak won more than the Chiefs over the 49ers. 4 straight wins for the Chiefs over the 49ers. What does this matchup mean to you, Niner fans? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you writing it off already? They can't knock the Chiefs off in the Super Bowl, so why the hell would they be able to do it in the regular season? Give us us a call, shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. Up next is Gabe in Tracy. Gabe, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game. What are you waiting for? What are you looking forward to, Niners Chiefs, Gabe?
I'm looking definitely for a win. We're definitely going to win by three. I can guarantee that. It's just like going back to the three Super Bowls. The three Super Bowls that we lost were because of defense, you know. And so my thing with that is if we can play and stop Chris Jones on that other side on their D, I think we should be fine. And we definitely got to utilize Juszczyk and Kittle in this game. If I'm a coach, I'm using Kittle and Juszczyk in the game because they know we have a running game. They know we have wide receivers. Why not, you know, improvise the fullback and the tight end in this game as much as possible, just to give us, you know, better odds, a better chance of winning this game.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Gabe. I'm not so sure I would call last year's Super Bowl loss, the February loss. I would have put that on the defense, Dibs. Defense was awesome through 3.5 quarters in that game. And I know they gave up some points in the fourth quarter, and then, of course, the touchdown drive in overtime. But that was on the offense for not getting a little bit more done earlier.
Yes, and I do think that game reflects what we've had this year as a problem, which is red zone efficiency. Yeah. And, you know, you got the opening drive, Christian McCaffrey goes in and he fumbles at like the 10-yard line. And that was a time where you would have gone in and at least gotten 3 points and you got zero. So I look at this year as a little bit of a reflection. If you want to talk Super Bowl hangover, for me, it's been a red zone hangover because other than the game against Seattle where you were 3 of 5, I think, in the red area.
You started 0-2. You were 3 for your last 3.
Right. And yeah. So I think that last year in the Super Bowl, I think about the red zone as the biggest issue offensively, and I agree with you there.
Yeah, it kind of has led to the issues so far this year because you were the best team in the NFL, red zone efficiency last
yep.
year. But you're right. In the Super Bowl, it was not good, and those issues have bled over to this season so far where you are once again one of, like the Super Bowl, you are now one of the worst teams in the NFL in terms of scoring touchdowns, turning your red zone opportunities into touchdowns. And that's going to be an area that has to improve. The Niners relied on George Kittle on Thursday night. He scored 2 touchdowns from the red zone, and maybe that will jumpstart the 49ers' red zone offense. Hey, coming up on Wednesday, by the way, you and Mark Willard will be live broadcasting from John Madden Studio as we remember the great John Madden. Members of the Madden family will be there, and former Niner head coach Steve Mariucci will join you guys at 3 coming up on Wednesday. A lot to look forward to there. Can't wait for that. Going to be a ton of fun. And also, we're talking about Niners Chiefs Sunday, 1:25 kick at 11. The kickoff show begins here on 95.7 The Game with Lo Neal and Evan Giddings. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay, presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy in for Willard. When we come back, we'll break down more Niners and Chiefs. I think the Niners have an advantage in a spot that might surprise you. We can talk about that coming up next as Willard and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? 7 yeah. steaks? 2 whole
well,
chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Whatever Nick Bosa ate pregame Thursday night, do that every single week, Nick.
Right?
Whatever you did, it worked. How many pressures? 14?
14.
Whew.
Yep.
14 pressures. Not a sack.
Yeah.
No sacks,
right.
14 pressures.
And I'm glad you pointed that out earlier, like exactly what happened when he pressured, because I was going through my notes before the show and trying to circle whenever I wrote down the pressure, and I didn't write down 14 pressures, but I wrote down the obvious ones,
yeah.
including 3rd and 5, Mustafa with the pick. That was a Bosa pressure, and it was overthrown because Bosa was all over Geno Smith. And then the second drive, 3rd and 10, they threw it, and Yadam had the pass breakup or the coverage, and that was a Bosa pressure. And so all these little things that, you know, we look at the stats and, oh, no sacks. Bosa, where are you?
Well, 14 pressures.
We pay you more money
than any other defender in the NFL.
It's one of those things that drives me a little bit crazy because, you know, pressures, even when they don't show up as a full-on pressure, what he's doing to take on a double team is going to allow other people to get through and apply their pressure as well.
Yeah. And he's going to have to be good coming up on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs because the Niners are going to need to affect Patrick Mahomes somehow. Thanks for tuning in. It's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy in for Mark Willard alongside Dibs. And we are streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957TheGame and youtube.com/957TheGame to watch us live. And if anyone swears, you get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on both Twitch and YouTube. And on YouTube, make sure to hit that thumbs up button if you like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Okay, Dib, so Niners, Chiefs, 6 days away. I say this very hesitantly because I know what it sounds like. We are a San Francisco sports radio station, so I am fully prepared to be called a homer who doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Niners, Chiefs, the Niners have an advantage at the quarterback position, Dibs.
At the quarterback position?
At the quarterback position.
You're going to have to explain this one.
Brock Purdy has had a better season. He's had a better season and a half than Patrick Mahomes.
What does that mean? He's had a better season. And we can, you can hit me with all your numbers and all the grandonomics that you want to do. Because
grandonomics.
Maybe you can use that because and we had a guy on the show or on the station a long time ago, Guy Haberman, and I told him about Habermetrics, and he eventually would take that
and
use it.
That's a good one. I like it.
But grandonomics is kind of similar because you can look at whatever number you want, and you know, as my partner Mark Willard says, numbers are numbers, except when numbers are my numbers, and then numbers are numbers. Or I don't even know what the caller said when
something like that
he was impersonating him. But you can tell me about how Brock has been better. But I look at Kansas City being undefeated and the Niners being 3-3. So I'm going to need a little bit more from you in terms of an explanation, Mark.
Well, wins are a team stat, and wins are not a quarterback stat. You know this, Dibs.
Right, but then they're a quarterback stat when we want to talk about how great Brock has been.
Not this year, they're 3-3.
But all you Brockistans, when you talk about how good he's been, and also the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, the record with Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback, we all use quarterback.
He's just a winner. We know
right,
that.
We all use quarterback record when we want to. But go ahead. You tell me how Mahomes is not as good as Brock Purdy.
Patrick Mahomes this year, Dibs, has thrown for 1,235 yards. Okay, it's passing yards, not that big of a deal. 6 touchdowns. It's tied for the 14th most in the NFL this year. 6 interceptions. Touchdown to interception ratio is 1-1, Dibs.
That's not
very good.
Nope.
Not very good. Meanwhile, Brock Purdy's thrown for more yards. He's thrown for 3 more touchdowns, 9 touchdowns on the year, tied for 4th in the NFL, and has thrown two fewer interceptions. Purdy is averaging a bunch more yards per attempt. In fact, he leads the NFL in yards per attempt. His quarterback rating is top 5 in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, the 18th best QBR. The San Francisco 49ers coming into Week 7 against the Kansas City Chiefs have an advantage at quarterback. And you throw in the fact that Brock Purdy is using his legs more than ever before. He extends plays and uses his legs to gain yards more often than Patrick Mahomes. You might argue he's doing it a little bit too often, and I frankly would not disagree with you. I think he's got to look to throw the ball a little bit more than to take off and run. But Brock Purdy is having a better season than Patrick Mahomes. And in fact, I mean, Brock Purdy was an MVP finalist last year. Where was Patrick Mahomes in that last year? And I know he had the postseason and he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a very big part of this that I'm sure you're going to fire back at me with. But if we're looking over the last year and a half of football, Dibs, other than a postseason run, Brock Purdy has been the better quarterback. And I know it sounds ridiculous to even think about that, but Brock Purdy is having a better season than Patrick Mahomes. There is no other way to describe it. His team is having a better season than the 49ers team is. But Brock Purdy, the quarterback, has been a bigger factor in the 49ers' success, relative success, than Patrick Mahomes has been to the Chiefs' success this year.
Well, you can say that, and you can be right in looking at statistics, and that's all fine and good. And Brock Purdy, for the most part, has been terrific this year. And you can look at Brock Purdy mistakes, and I talked about the Seattle game as his best game of the year. I thought that it was an absolute near perfection kind of a performance, and he's been great. But at the end of it, they're 3-3, and Kansas City's 5-0. So you look at how Kansas City is 5-0, and part of that comes from the great defense for sure. But you also have to look at what Patrick Mahomes is working with as opposed to what Brock Purdy is working with. And Mahomes has not had nearly the same level of talent around him. And he doesn't have a Hall of Famer on the offensive line. He's got a Hall of Famer at tight end. And that's about it. And his running back that he had, Isaiah Pacheco, has not been there. And so they picked up a guy off the street, and then they brought in Kareem Hunt, who was a Kansas City retread, and you lost your number one wide receiver, and you've had to do it with a bunch of twos and threes, and even your tight end himself has not had a very good year. So you could say that George Kittle's had a better year than Travis Kelce, and that's also true.
No doubt.
And, you know, yet Kansas City's 5-0. So it's hard for me to think about it individually. And, you know, the case you make is a good one, and the stats would line up with that. Yards per attempt, Brock is, I think he's actually now number two behind Jared Goff at 8.8, but he's far above Mahomes, and he's above him in quarterback rating and QBR, and he's above him in yards per game. He's actually throwing it more than Patrick Mahomes, which is a little bit surprising when I look at the numbers. The Niners have thrown the ball a lot more than they normally do, and Kansas City's throwing it a lot less. So you can look at, you know, who's having a better year. And yeah, statistically, it is Brock Purdy. Kansas City is doing things in a different way this year, in part, I believe, because they don't have the same level of offense that they normally do.
The 510 on the Comcast Business text line brings up a good point, and this is one that I agree with as well. When the winning time moments came up this year, Brock did not perform well. Mahomes wins all those games. I mean, that's entirely true. Part of the reason the Niners have lost some games is really not to do with Brock. I know we think about the Arizona Cardinals loss and the interception on that last drive, and that's certainly part of it, but the drive right before, he helped lead him down the field, and it was a Jordan Mason fumble. I get it. We can pick and choose which drives were good, which drives were bad. The case for Mahomes, though, Dibs, no doubt the 510 has it spot on. I mean, you talk about needing points, needing a drive, clutch time, you're down a score, you got to go down and get points, you're tied, get a field goal as time expires. There's no one better than Patrick Mahomes at that. Now, on the flip side, I could say, well, the Chiefs, if one play, two plays, three plays, just go the opposite way, kind of similar to how they've gone for the 49ers, the Chiefs could be looking at a 4-1, 2-3-2 record, and the Niners could be looking at a 5-1 record. As I know you and Mark Willard talked about all last week, they could have, should have, whatever word you want to use, could only have one loss so far this year. And maybe the difference between these two guys is just, with one of them, those plays always favor his team. And that's maybe a factor of how good he is. But the difference between these two teams isn't really as stark, I think, as the 5-0 record and the 3-3 record might suggest.
Agreed. And I'm just looking at the game against Cincinnati, for example, where Kansas City was down 25-23 with about 2:48 to go, and they get the ball back, and he converts a 3rd-and-9. Actually, he doesn't convert it. He gets 3 yards, and then on 4th-and-6... they don't convert it, but there's a penalty against Cincinnati, converted.
Yep. And then the famous pass interference that was called.
On 4th-and-16, yep. The PI, which converted it, and then they end up getting a field goal from Harrison Butker from 51 out as time expired to win that game. So that's a little bit of a smoke and mirrors comeback, and you could say it was aided by the refs or not, but you know, ultimately, he was the one who got the job done in that game, and then they beat Atlanta by five, where, you know, Atlanta had chances to go down there and win the game. They got to Kansas City's 13 and they couldn't convert.
Uncalled defensive pass interference in the end zone against the Chiefs that would have allowed the Falcons to win the game.
No doubt. So these are things that, you know, people will look at as reasons why Kansas City could be 3-2. And you're fair to do that. You're right to do that. But Mahomes does find a way, even when he doesn't have a lot of weapons and even when he doesn't have a great team, to still put up pretty good offensive numbers and get the job done.
Yeah. Brock Purdy versus Patrick Mahomes. I think the 49ers, I mean, the numbers are obvious, and I know how everyone's going to feel. Patrick Mahomes has won multiple MVPs and has won 3 Super Bowls. He's the greatest quarterback in the NFL, and who knows, when he retires and it's all said and done, he might be the greatest quarterback to ever play. But through 6 weeks of the 2024 NFL season, there's no contest. Brock Purdy has been the better quarterback, and that's the bottom line right now. Now, when the chips are all down and it's winning time, all right, you know, this is a conversation. But if we're talking about throughout the course of the 2024 season, it's no contest in my mind. 888-957-9570. Let's allow you to join the conversation. Mike is in Santa Clara and wants to weigh in. What's up, Mike? You're on Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, guys? How are you doing today?
We're doing well. How about you?
Good, good. Thank you. Look, just in regards to the conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app